The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to think and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live! Marijuana Nation! Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator... Belleville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes, and welcome. It is Wednesday, October 26, 2011, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. But more than that, it's show number 800. That's right, 800 shows of Normal Show Live. Yeah, amazing. Hard to believe. Our studio audience is going crazy for it. Yeah, show number 800. Joining us here for show number 800 is our own favorite news reporter and chief news correspondent, Cannabis Carrie. How you doing, Carrie?
Hey, see, that sounds so much better, chief, as opposed to senior.
Senior?
Like it.
We have to be careful, you know. Some people get offended when you use the word chief.
Oh, that's true. Looking at you, Chief Greenbud.
That's
you
right.
Racist son of a gun.
Oh, no.
I love
that's
him.
It's an inside joke, people. Chief Greenbud is a wonderful, wonderful human being. Cannabis Carrie brings us our headlines right after the first break. So what do we have in the news today?
Oh, apparently Chief Greenbud is suing the show. No, I'm just kidding. We're going to cover the San Francisco protest yesterday. Protesters coming out, of course, because Obama touched down in town and they wanted to let him know they're a little disappointed that he's gone back on some campaign promises. Also, a new study out from the University of Bristol that tries to explain why marijuana makes you forget. And hopefully some more news after that.
Oh, yeah. I've got a couple of stories I've been following up on. The Department of Justice crackdown is being highlighted on Good Morning America, of all places, and their threatening letters to banks about their business with medical marijuana clients. So we'll get to that. Also, we've got a story coming out of the internet here from a website called Gawker, a very popular website called Gawker that exhibits one of the classic logical fallacies in drug war arguments. So I wanted to highlight that, but it has to do with that RAND study about dispensaries and crime. So we'll talk a little bit about that when we get to the news segment. Also on today's show, it is Irie Wednesday. So Kyle, a.k.a. NorCal Perps, will be calling in from the Bay Area with some more great reggae music for us. Today it's Laid Black with Eyes Red, kind of like our studio audience. And also today is Cannabis Science Day, so Dr. Mitch Earlywine will be calling in from SUNY Albany in New York and answering your live questions via chat or from our call-in line at 971-533-7111. And we'll talk to him about that study, Carrie, that why our brains are all chaotic when we use cannabis and see what he has to say about it.
I can't wait to hear.
Yep. And then at the end of the show, we got time for a radical rant. Not so much a rant as a celebration. We're going to talk about this being our 800th show. I've got a clip from show number 2 to play for you. All that and more coming up on Normal Show Live.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that gives us these precious rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search or seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney, Omar Figueroa. Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215. Or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com.
Yo, what's up? This is Miles from Slightly Stupid. You're listening to Normal Show Live.
Weedmaps.com. I'm Radical Russ from Normal. In my job as outreach coordinator, I travel every month. And when I'm on the road, I need a fast, accurate way to find the medical marijuana dispensaries in the area. So I turn to Weedmaps.com. Weedmaps.com has the best dispensary locator online or on your mobile device. Search by zip code or let Weedmaps find you, and in seconds you'll have the addresses, phone numbers, and customer service reviews for the medical marijuana dispensaries in the local area. Weedmaps.com also has a section devoted to helping you find a doctor who understands and recommends medical marijuana under your state's law. You can even check prices on the Medical Marijuana Stock Exchange. Coming soon, you'll even be able to find the listings of normal attorneys and chapters, local head shops and grow shops, and the best weed-friendly businesses. Weedmaps.com has the information you need to be an informed cannabis consumer. Visit Weedmaps.com today, a proud sponsor of the Normal Network. Inhaling deeply all the sacred smoke.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
Yesterday, frustrated medical marijuana activists, weary over recent closures of working dispensaries due to pressure from California U.S. federal attorneys, protested President Barack Obama's fundraising benefit in San Francisco. Hundreds of protesters gathered downtown near the hotel where the president was enjoying a $7,500 a plate luncheon at the W Hotel. Some of the frustrated demonstrators were dispensary workers who said if their place of employment was shut down, that they would join the Occupy Wall Street protesters since they would then be part of the unemployed. One demonstrator told local media that what President Obama has done to the thriving medical marijuana industry in California is nothing short of entrapment. Assemblyman Tom Amiano, who joined the protesters, said that it is a total overreaction by the U.S. Attorney's Office and that they need to be reined in. Many that made signs said they were disappointed that Obama had let them down on his campaign promise to not spend any federal resources to prosecute medical marijuana patients following state laws. Some that came out to protest said that after taking all of the legal steps, spending all the money that requires that, they're still having their property taken away and are being burdened with unreasonable legal fees. Since 1996, when the Compassionate Use Act was passed, there have been constant court battles to outline state law on this federally controlled substance. In the city of Garden Grove versus Superior Court in 2007, the court sided with a medical marijuana patient who was arrested, finding that it is, quote, not the job of local police to enforce the federal drug laws. Assemblyman Amiano says that he is pissed off about the unwarranted attacks on the medical marijuana industry in California. At the protest, he called upon California's congressional representatives and citizens to demand the feds back off, calling it undemocratic and the worst case of thuggery. Assemblymember Amiano says he expects to hear back from Senators Dianne Feinstein and Barbara Boxer, who so far have remained publicly silent on the matter. Amiano challenged the statewide indiscriminate nature of the raids, noting that the worst abuses have been identified primarily in communities in Southern California, like San Diego and Los Angeles, that, quote, brought chaos upon themselves by sticking their heads in the sand and failing to pass regulations regarding 215's implementation anywhere during the last 15 years since the passage of Prop 215, as called for in guidelines by then-State Attorney General Edmund G. Brown, Jr. He went on to say, quote, without regulations, there are all kinds of people who will always take advantage. Without laws on the books, it becomes the wild, wild west, and we want that to stop too. But we don't want medical marijuana to be vitiated by thug mentality. Well said.
All right. And we're taking a look on the webcam here of some of the protest signs, the people out there protesting, one with a sign that says Obama changed and stop the raids in the same format as the old Shepherd Ferry poster of Hope and Change. So a lot of people are, like Ammiano said, pissed off about this, and they're getting out in the streets here to make their voices heard. And, you know, I wanted to bring up, too, something that was mentioned about that $7,500 a plate fundraiser. $7,500 a plate fundraiser. One of our chatters in the chat room is saying, gee, that's just about my income for the year. And there are a lot of Americans for whom that is their income for the year. And they put those two incomes together to try to make it here. If anybody wants an explanation as to why so many people are angry right now and out in the streets marching, it's because of this disconnect and this feeling that we just don't matter to the politicians in Washington, that our little dollars don't matter a thing compared to the corporate people and the amount of money that they can push at these. And when you look at the pharmaceutical corporations that are pumping in, you know, millions and millions of dollars to the Obama reelection campaign, it's no surprise why we're seeing this recent federal crackdown on medical marijuana.
And an article out today on LifeScience.com said they think a new study on rats can tell us why marijuana affects our short-term memory. Researchers at the University of Bristol have looked in detail at the changes in the brains of cannabis users. Neuroscientists found that marijuana causes once-coordinated brain regions to fall out of sync with each other, resulting in effects that mimic schizophrenia. They measured the electrical activity in nerve cells of rats given a drug that mimics the psychoactive ingredient THC. The scientists said the marijuana-like drug had only subtle effects on individual brain regions. They found, however, that it disrupted the coordinated activity between regions of the brain, particularly the brain waves across the hippocampus and the prefrontal cortex. The neuroscientists say that the lack of synchronization between the hippocampus and the prefrontal cortex, both of the areas of the brain associated with memory and decision-making, causes short-term memory loss. The connection between that function and schizophrenia is that those two areas of the brain are also involved in the dramatic symptoms that occur to those suffering from that disease. As a result of this effect, the rats who were exposed to the THC-like substance were unable to make accurate decisions when navigating around a maze. According to Matt Jones, a study researcher at the University of Bristol's School of Physiology and Pharmacology, says that marijuana can mimic symptoms of schizophrenia even in healthy volunteers. Jones said that the findings are therefore important for our understanding of psychiatric diseases that may arise to, quote, disorchestrated parts of your brain and may be treated by retuning the brain. Jones's work will appear in the October 25th issue of the Journal of Neuroscience. And also, I wanted to say that article that's already been making the rounds today, the Daily UK, that headline that came out regarding the study is, just one cannabis joint can bring on schizophrenia as well as damaged memory.
Oh, yeah, terrifying. Amazing the conclusions they can make when they take a chemical that's not cannabis, not plant-smoked marijuana, but mimics THC, just the psychoactive chemical part, and does so in a much more extreme manner. It'd be kind of like taking Everclear, you know, 190 proof Everclear, and administering 12 shots to a rat, see what happens, and then say, see, if you drink a beer, you're going to die. It just makes no sense whatsoever. These synthetic cannabinoids that they're using to test in these laboratory rats don't really tell us a whole lot about what smoking cannabis on an occasional basis is going to do to a person. And by the way, let's talk about that for a second, because I saw one of these headlines that came up and said something about this study saying it caused a chaotic brain, would cause parts of the brain to be able to not function well together in coordinated concert. Well, let me tell you something. I smoked marijuana before I started this show. I am running a 24-channel board with my left hand. I am running a 6-camera operation with my right hand. I am running 3 different computer monitor screens covering 6 different tabs of news, a soundboard in front of me, a clock over here, a Skype with Carrie on the line doing chat, another screen with chat over here dealing with my audience all at once, and I've done this 800 times. Don't you tell me that there's a chaotic brain from marijuana use. All right, for our next story here, I want to bring up, this was from, let's see, where the Justice Department, reported by Good Morning America, is seeking to seize the property where clinics are based, even going after at least one bank that holds a mortgage on a clinic. Chase Bank received a letter to evict the Marin Alliance for Medical Marijuana, according to Greg Anton, attorney for the clinic. The bank owns the note on the building in Fairfax, California. Now, full disclosure, Lynette Shaw, who is the person who owns the Marin Alliance for Medical Marijuana, has been a guest on this show and is a personal friend of mine. Now, according to Anton, the bank received a similar letter from U.S. Attorney Melinda Hogg for the Northern District of California that was sent to the Alliance's landlord on September 28 and other medical marijuana dispensaries. The letters threatened that unless the owners evicted the cannabis clinics within 45 days, they could face criminal action. Anton said he obtained a copy of the letter to J.P. Morgan Chase through the clinic's landlord, as reported by the Bay Citizen. Now, the reason why this is something I wanted to highlight is because Marin Alliance for Medical Marijuana is undergoing a court case right now throughout the court system here that Lynette Shaw has told me is going to bring up a number of constitutional and legal issues that haven't been presented before in this kind of case. And she's got the standing to be able to pull this off as far as the courts, as far as the legal setup is concerned. So this smacks to me of a little bit of political retribution and a way of trying to pull the purse strings out from this criminal, from this civil case that she's trying to put together that might hamstring the government's efforts to cripple medical marijuana in the state of California and the other 16 states that are practicing this. And finally, I wanted to point out this piece from Gawker.com. Now, this Gawker.com is kind of a, you know, a tabloidy sort of website blog, okay? There's a writer out there named Hamilton Nolan, and you can tweet to him at Hamilton Nolan if you want to let him know what you think. And let me just read the article for you, and then I'll get you through the logical fallacies. Oh, weed spots don't actually reduce crime? What if I told you having a medical marijuana dispensary near you could actually reduce crime in your neighborhood? You'd probably be like, dude, or some other stereotypically stoner thing because your glaucoma treatment has been particularly good lately. Well, snap out of it, man. I'm here to tell you that a medical marijuana dispensary does not reduce crime in your neighborhood after all. You see, the respected RAND Corporation did a big study of crime data and put out a fancy report last month saying that, hey, these weed stores sure do bring down crime. It's probably all the surveillance cameras they have, was the theory, although of course the real reason would have been that the marijuana smokers all having the munchies too much to do crime. Hey, why do crime when there are Chips Ahoy brand cookies to be eaten while intoxicated on the THC found in marijuana, am I right? You're welcome, RAND Corporation, for this humorous, but not without an element of truth, insight. The point is, that report was all messed up. The RAND people forgot to include crime data from the LAPD. That's a lot of crime data! Well, well, what do you know? Stoner marijuana apologists tried to throw together a report using whatever they could find on the internet, only to find out that their data was incomplete, likely because RAND researchers were too overcome with the intoxicating effects of the THC found in marijuana to properly focus on their work. Just joshing you, RAND Corporation. Seriously, everyone, we could all stand around making jokes about marijuana on the internet all day, but let's just remember that medical marijuana leads to crime and move on with our lives. We need to go smoke marijuana. We don't, really. But the RAND Corporation's researchers probably do, to come down from this bummer. Oh, we're joking. That would be defamatory. Not that there's anything wrong with smoking marijuana. We love it. We really don't. Okay, so that's his, you know, I don't know, attempt at humor or something. But it's a big logical fallacy here. And it starts right in the headline. Oh, weed spots don't actually reduce crime. Let me walk you through this here, Hamilton Nolan. First of all, RAND never asserted that weed stores bring down crime. They asserted that closing weed stores increased crime. No mention was made of the crime levels before the dispensaries closed. Second, incomplete data do not equate to incorrect hypothesis. Now, suppose I told you there were close to 7 billion people in the world because I counted them all. And then you discover later that I really only counted the 4 people in this room and then made a wild-ass guess. That doesn't mean my wild-ass guess was incorrect. Now, maybe RAND goes back and gets some complete data and discovers that the hypothesis was correct, that crime did increase when dispensaries were shuttered. Or maybe they're wrong and crime did decrease when the dispensaries closed. I mean, the jury's still out, Hamilton. We don't have enough data here. Now, the LAPD has commented in the past that dispensaries haven't really increased crime, and that dispensaries were far less likely to get robbed than similar businesses, and especially less likely to get robbed than banks. And similar studies in the dispensary operations in Denver and Colorado Springs have also shown no correlation between dispensary operations and crime. And if anyone in the Bay Area had ever been to the area around Oakland before Coffee Shop Blue Sky and Oaksterdam revitalized that neighborhood, I think you'd make an anecdotal observation that the dispensaries helped to reduce crime. Oh, and by the way, these stoner marijuana apologists out at the Rand Corporation, a number of them have won the Nobel Prize. And Hamilton, why don't you call us when you're up for the Pulitzer, okay? All right, so that's out at gawker.com. I've got it up at the stash, stash.normal.org. And if you want to call Hamilton Nolan out on his reporting, it's at Hamilton Nolan on Twitter. All right, folks, it's time to take a break. Show number 800. When we come back, we will have Kyle from the Bay Area on tap for Irie Wednesday's Daily Toker Tunes.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man, a reefer man? Have you ever met that funny reefer man, a reefer man? If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Alternative Medical Choices offers healthcare the way it should be. Easy to access, patient-centered, team-based, and quality-focused. We offer a variety of natural, affordable healthcare treatment options like primary care, group acupuncture, massage, and assistance with OMMP registration. As a patient, you will have a team of experts working with you to make you the best you can be. Call Alternative Medical Choices at 503-288-5579 or check us out on the web at altmedchoices.com.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Okay, class. Repeat after me. Am I free to go, officer? I don't consent to any searches, officer. I wish to speak to my attorney before answering any questions, officer. These three phrases may help your attorney keep your ass out of a jail cell someday. So memorize them and use them.
It's time for your Daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we get tunes for Irie Wednesday, our celebration of that mellow vibe we find in the best of reggae, ska, calypso, and Latin music. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tune.
All right, glad to bring Kyle back on the line. How you doing down there?
Not too bad. How you doing today, Russ?
Excellent. Did you get any chance to get into the city to see any of those protests or anything?
I did not. I was going to try and go out to the Occupy San Jose movement last week when they marched, but they were actually marching right as the Normal Show started last Wednesday. So,
oh my. It
didn't really work out.
Well, that, you know, you can miss a show to go march, man. It's not like we dock your pay.
Oh, it's all good. You know, I have prior commitments, and like me and a bunch of patients were talking about out at WAMFest, as much as we would love to get out there, it's really hard to leave there, and you don't want to medicate there to bring police attention.
Right.
On there, and then, you know, one thing leads to another. Next thing you know, the cops are there, and people are harassing the cops, and arrests are being made. So a lot of patients, especially the older patients, as much as they'd like to be out there, they just don't want to create trouble.
Well, there's a lot of controversy about that up here at Occupy Portland, as far as that goes, with you know, people wanting to be able to medicate in a tent, you know, out of public view, but then others saying, you know, we don't want the harassment or the hassle or to distract from the message. So, but you know, a lot of these patients, you know, you can't be out for 2-3 hours in pain without, you know, medicating. So maybe, you know, maybe edibles, maybe we can do something like that and supply the folks out there who want to protest.
Yeah, maybe we can get a tray of edibles out there for them.
That would be the way to do it. And you know, I heard also, I've been reading some headlines on Occupy Oakland, protesters being dispersed with tear gas. And I guess now a Iraq veteran is in critical condition. This was a headline up on Huffington Post after being marched out of the Occupy protest. Something about this. It's getting crazy down there. And, you know, we're seeing a lot of political activism that is happening. I think this is an amazing time to be alive. And I'm kind of envious that you're down there in the Bay Area at the center of it all.
Yeah, they shut down Oakland last night, and then also at about midnight, 12:30, they shut down the Occupy San Jose, which I found pretty funny because I walked by it the other day, and they have already shrunk it down to 3 tents. And so they went ahead and kicked down those 3 tents at 12:30 last night.
Yeah, because it must have been a terrible nuisance to the public at large to have 3 tents there.
Oh yeah, you've got that full acre that City Hall sits on, and but you know, 3 tents are taking up way too much room.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get to the Irie Wednesday music for today. Lift our spirits a little bit. What do you got for us?
Okay. Well, today I'm very happy to add yet another international reggae act to our lineup. Many people have called this the next big act to come out of Bristol. Laid Black have captivated their audience with their just big energy on stage, fusing reggae, hip-hop, blues, and an occasional hint of drum and bass. There's a little something for everyone. So let's go ahead and fire up some good old herb with Laid Black with their song Red.
All right. This is My Eyes Are Red, Laid Black, on your Daily Toker Tunes, Irie Wednesday. Thanks, Kyle.
No problem, Russ. Take it easy.
Hey boss, somebody tell me say I sell the good things, boss. And you sound like it's long time me no get this one something that tastes good. I beg the eye sell me a draw. A 16th. Looks good, smells good. Beg the eye some Rizzler and a little piece of cigarette. Make us see how this thing start. Respect.
Reason why. Reason why. Reason why.
Big the eye lighter. Are the real things.
My eyes are red.
I've been burning. I've been burning.
Here's the reason why. My eyes are red.
I've been burning. La 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 la.
Cause if I don't have it in my pocket, I'm going to panic. Cause like I said, where I come from, we smoking is a habit. Yeah, look who they're born and I raised on in the hood. But if I think I have been everything like a ghetto man should. One of them things is smoking weed because it makes me feel good. Funny like this and Semenya, yes it makes me feel. But me is someone like that, but Semenya is a drug. And if I start to smoke it, I'm gonna turn into a thug. Where I come from, that they talk, it could only get you mug. Where I come from, burning weed, it is a blessing from above. Where I come from, yes, we burn it when we had this young rubber dub. Where I come from, yes, we burn it after we just throw metal up. Where I come from, yes, we burn it when the sun starts shine. I blaze high grade weed all the time.
My eyes are red.
I've been burning, I've been burning.
Here's the reason why. My eyes are red.
I've been la 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 la.
Remains raw. I should have went over the rigid singing down hardcore. So set over the straight, don't see what I've got in store. Conscious lyrics, you know I got them galore. So fling on a little
lucky when you travel out of Dora. Sleep on bed, me not go sleep on flora. Name in reverse, that means you don't want some more. But you am international, I'm always on tour. Show for driver, they might see to the water front door. Later on, I'm entertaining to 1,000 or more. Only pays a little money, so you know I'm still poor. I place high grade weed, that's for sure.
My eyes are red, I've been burning. King Solomon's grave. Well, about that I don't know, but one thing that I do know, swillily sense of mean I got to grow up. Swillily sense of mean I got to grow up. I want to burn it right now. Me no but they come back, we burn it right now. Anyway, hey, anyhow, anyway, hey, anyhow. My eyes are red,
I've been burning, I've been burning.
Want a copy of that song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing Media and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
And now, a message from former President George W. Bush to remind the American people of our responsibility in our nation's war on certain American citizens, non-pharmaceutical, non-alcoholic, tobacco-free drugs.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
That's right, America, use less drugs. Put down the Prozac, the Vioxx, and the Levitra, and turn to the herb. Use less drugs. Our national policy is no longer just say no, it's now just slow down.
You get me too high. I overanalyze. If you've ever been too high, then you can sympathize. You get me too high. And I start to fly if I said some silly thing, and that's the reason why.
There is a peaceful solution called a peace revolution. And now let's take back America.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Like millions of freedom-loving Americans, I'm a marijuana smoker, and I don't think that should be any of the government's business. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana. The next time you light up, take the time to let your elected officials know how you feel. It's time we legalize marijuana and stop treating marijuana smokers like criminals. For more information on how you can help legalize marijuana, please contact Normal at NORML.org.
What makes something funny? How does humor impact health and psychological well-being? How can you incorporate humor into everyday life? A concise, reader-friendly introduction to an important but often underappreciated topic in modern psychology, Humor 101 explains the role of comedy, jokes, and wit in the sciences and discusses why they are so important to understand. Psychology professor Dr. Mitch Earlywine draws from his personal experiences in stand-up comedy to focus on how humor can regulate emotion, reduce anxiety, and diffuse tense situations, expose pretensions, build personal relationships, and much more. He irreverently debunks the pseudoscience on the topic of humor and leaves readers not only funnier, but better informed. It's part of the Psych 101 series from Springer Publishing, Humor 101 by Dr. Mitch Earlywine, Ph.D.
It's time for Normal Show Live's Cannabis Science with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York in Albany and the author of Understanding Marijuana. Now here's your dose of cannabis science.
All right, Dr. Mitch, welcome back to the show.
Pleasure to be back.
Glad to have you here. We are looking forward to this because there's a new study Here's a new study making the rounds. I saw it on CBS News, so it must be true. It says, solved why pot smoking causes memory loss. And I'm sure you've read it by now. This study of the rat brains that says using cannabis causes once coordinated brain regions to fall out of sync with each other. The result resembles schizophrenia. So can you give us the real science on this, Dr. Mitch?
Yeah, I don't know why they're making such a big deal out of this. What a surprise. The hippocampus and amygdala don't communicate exactly the same way when you give a rat a giant megadose of THC. In fact, this is why marijuana treats PTSD, but we won't get into that now, will we?
Yeah.
And yet, you know, we've said time and again, acute doses of marijuana do decrease memory to the point where, you know, if you're trying to learn a list of 15 words, you might actually forget one. But the idea that this is somehow a parallel with schizophrenia is such a leap. I honestly don't know where they even made the parallel.
Yeah, I think it's just a timer that goes off every 2 or 3 weeks. We need to come out with something to scare the hell out of people about marijuana, and this is just, you know, the latest part of the cycle. But we've talked about, you know, marijuana and schizophrenia and these scare stories before, and I always come back to the basic answer to any of those scare stories is, look at the rates of schizophrenia over the past 40 years.
I think that's an ideal way to approach it. In fact, right now, schizophrenia is below 1% its rate in the population. And if you happen to have a wild genetic risk and use marijuana heavily before age 15, your risk might go from 0.5% to 0.6%. It really is not the causal factor it is. Now, I've done a lot of work with schizophrenics over the year, and in some way I wish it were the cause, because that would be an easily identifiable thing like that. What we're finding instead is good prenatal care, particularly for folks who are at genetic risk, certainly is a much better way to prevent than staying away from a drug that's basically been around for 5 millennia.
Yeah, no kidding. And, you know, the other question that this brings up is, so what? Right? I mean, we allow people to make the choice to smoke cigarettes and drink alcohol. Oh, my goodness.
What's funny is the risk ratio for smoking cigarettes and mental illness is about the same size as it is for marijuana and schizophrenia, but nobody ever mentions that one, of course.
Really? Tobacco smoking has the same risk of increasing schizophrenia? Is that what they're saying? Or?
Well, what happens? I mean, causally, it's just that people with a lot of mental illness are often sitting around the house bored and smoke a lot of cigarettes. Nobody seems to think that nicotine is causing delusions or hallucinations.
Right, just a correlative thing here. Okay, well, we're taking some live questions here. Our phone number is 971-533-7111. If you've got a question for Dr. Mitch Earlywine, we'd love to hear it. Or you can get it in our chat room right now. So check out our chat room through Ustream. You should be able to find it there, and we're getting the number up on the screen right now. We've already got a few questions coming in. Let's start with this first one from Uncle Viper, who says, my wife gets seizures when she uses cannabis, but she is also on a cocktail of other meds. Any idea what's happening?
This is a curious thing, and I don't hear this often, and it may be strain-related. The cannabidiol alone strains, or the high cannabidiol strains, may be less likely to produce that, and if you go to projectcbd.com, you can find a list of those. But I haven't seen a case of this in the past. Obviously, the thing to do is to stay away if it's causing her these negative consequences.
Yeah. Okay. Question from Green Girl 3 wants to know, why does the cannabis I make into butter taste so bitter? I even wash it a few extra times with clean water. Why would that taste so bitter? Any ideas?
Odds are high she's cooking it a little too long. We really just need to get the THC into the butter. There are a lot of other terpenoids and flavonoids in the plant that really aren't necessary for the medical effects. So if she's been hard double boiling it for 45 minutes, she could probably cut that down to 20 and be absolutely fine.
Hmm. All right. I like this next question from Smoker King, who wants to know, do some people have a natural tolerance for marijuana? Even before I was a heavy smoker, I never got that high. But my girlfriend, who has been smoking heavily for years, gets very high from just one toke. Although different weights, we are smoking the same stuff.
So two comments. It definitely is a weight-based dose. So if he's 220 and she's 120, that's certainly part of it. But there are individual differences in responses to drugs. We've seen this in alcohol, in caffeine, and unfortunately haven't gotten the funding to show it with cannabis. But odds are very high this is probably a heritable and biologically oriented response that varies across humanity just like we do on other responses.
And, you know, on the flip side of that, do we know anything about – is there any research to support the idea that there are some people who are naturally endocannabinoid deficient and for whom using cannabis is a supplement for their endocannabinoid system?
Bob Malamy has written a splendid paper hypothesizing that, but we don't have the data to support it, in part because we just don't have the human research funded. In animals, at least in rodents, you can breed these rodents that don't have the CB1 receptor, basically. And, man, they are some mean, messed up animals.
Killer psycho rats, is that what we're talking about here?
Exactly.
Okay. Great question here, coming in anonymously. And, again, if you've got a question for Dr. Mitch Earlywine, we're live in the 1 p.m. Pacific hour. If you're listening at 4 or 10, this is a repeat, so don't call in. But live at 1 p.m. Pacific here, 1:30 actually, 1:40. All right, whatever. Question here for anonymously asked, Dr. Mitch, can you discuss the drug interaction precautions that patients on nitroglycerin should be aware of when it comes to glycerin tinctures?
The clincher here is nitroglycerin is usually taken as part of a cardiac regimen. So it's part of a whole big deal with heart problems, essentially. Unfortunately, THC is pretty reliable in its increasing in heart rate. And so to give generalized global recommendations would be really ill-advised. Instead, you really need to discuss with a physician whether it's okay for you to have a supplemental medication that's going to increase heart rate, and it's really an individualized thing.
Okay. I like this next question as well, being a dog owner and loving animals like I do. Are there any uses of cannabis on our pets? We know, don't get your pet high, but are there medical uses for domestic pets or even larger domestic animals like horses and cows when it comes to cannabis?
So William O'Shaughnessy, the first British person to go down to India and try to investigate cannabis effects, did his first work on animals and showed reliable increases in appetite and all the standard analgesic, pain-relieving effects in dogs. And then in Rob Lay's book, Gargantuan Pentadrule, written in the 1500s, he recommends it for treating basically colicky horses, which I think the dosage required would probably be so huge that I doubt you could afford it, and I'm sure there's got to be a cheaper medicine.
Well, once we re-legalize cannabis and drop those prices to $1 or $2 an ounce for outdoor production, maybe it would be something that would be worthwhile as a veterinary thing. And of course we know stories from growers and all the time talking about, deer eating their buds and so forth. So animals, I guess in the wild naturally seek out cannabis. So why wouldn't we, use it for them in veterinary situations?
Exactly. I mean, it's odd, but true that those medicinal effects should definitely generalize to all the other mammals and even in some animals lower down on the phylogenetic spectrum.
Yeah. All right. We are taking your questions here. We've got time for maybe one or two here through our live chat or by calling in at 971-533-7111. But if you don't get a chance to get your question in this week, you can call in next week. We do this every Wednesday here on Normal Show Live. Or send an email to 420research@gmail.com. That's 420research@gmail.com. And Dr. Mitch, I wanted to get your comment on another story that I'd picked up through CBS News in their celebrity circuit files. And of course, it was a tragic death that we reported on of Amy Winehouse, the legendary singer, the famous singer, Amy Winehouse. Apparently, the coroner now has come out and said, coroner Suzanne Greenway, this according to CBS News, gave a verdict of death by misadventure, saying the singer had voluntarily consumed alcohol and risked the consequences. The pathologist told the singer's inquest Wednesday that Winehouse had consumed a very large quantity of alcohol and was more than five times over the legal drunk driving limit when she died. And I just, you know, it's a tragic story, someone dying of alcohol poisoning like that. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on, you know, these overdoses that we hear all the time from alcohol.
The clincher here is this is a toxic drug. We've mentioned time and again, cannabis has never had a lethal dose established in humans. If you estimate it from animal work, basically we'd have to smoke 2 pounds. What a shame that basically Amy Winehouse, who probably didn't weigh very much, could end up at a lethal dose with an amount that she could buy really easily under basically normal circumstances. It's led some people to say alcohol is underregulated, but it certainly points out that cannabis is overregulated.
Yeah, you know, this is something I think of when they point out, you know, oh, well, if we legalize, there'll have to be a limit of 1 ounce per month, and you can't. It's like, we don't have limits on how many cartons of cigarettes or cases of beer we allow people to buy. I can't see why we need limits on how much cannabis they're allowed to buy. But we will work those things out as we continue this fight. Dr. Mitch Earlywine, thanks again for joining us this week and every week for our Cannabis Science segment. Appreciate you having you here.
Oh, thanks so much. Bye now.
All right. When we come back, a little time for Radical Rant, although less rant and more celebration for our 800th show. This is Normal Show Live.
Michael Phelps, Olympic superstar, 14 gold medals, world record holder. So much for that amotivational syndrome.
Stash.
Hear Cannabis Cuts from San Francisco every Friday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Also catch replays Wednesday at 5 a.m., Saturdays at 6 a.m., and Sundays at 11 p.m. right here on the Normal Network.
Ever wonder how often to change your bong water? The most effective method for baking pot brownies? The best destinations for a ganja getaway? How to hide herb in your car? Whether to grow your own? How precisely to legalize it? Or how something as wonderful as marijuana ever got to be illegal in the first place. Finally, you can find all these answers and much more in the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook, featuring 420 things to do when you're stoned. Since 1974, High Times Magazine has covered marijuana in all its aspects and wonders, from cultivation to legalization to the herb's enduring and exalted place in popular culture. Packed with inside information, the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook wove all of this collected wisdom together into a single indispensable ganja guide, including an entertaining look at marijuana's history, profiles of herb-friendly travel destinations and festivals, favorite potluck recipes from the High Times staff, smoking skills, advocacy and activism, essential marijuana movies and songs, profiles of famous cannabis strains, comprehensive growing information, celebrity endorsements, and much more. This is truly, finally, the ultimate guide to green living.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You want answers?
You have offended my family?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth!
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Hoo-ah! Radical Rant.
All right, folks, welcome back. Like I said, not so much rant as celebration. Today is our 800th episode of Normal Show Live. We are thrilled about that. You know, if anything, you know, I like to point out that, you know, we have had 800 shows that generally go on 5 days a week. I know I take a Monday off every now and then, or I'm gone for an event, you know, flying around the country, whatever. But generally on 5 days a week, always on, dead nuts on at 1 o'clock Pacific time. You know, so much, like I say, so much for the amotivational syndrome, so much for the idea that stoners can't be consistent or commit to something. And I want to thank everybody out there that helps to make this show such a huge success on the internet. And, you know, I get the honor to be able to work for Normal and to be able to put this together. But honestly, there are so many unpaid people, volunteers, who are just so committed to the idea of getting this information out to people that they are donating their hours of time and a lot of their talent to make this show possible. And of course, you know, first and foremost, the lovely and talented Cannabis Carrie, our news editor. Carrie, I love you.
Thank you, Russ. Thank you.
And, you know, she's doing the stories, 3, 4, 5 stories a day. We got, you know, Ganja John and Wiz Khalifa, who this over the past couple of, yeah, get up for them too. Over the past year and a half has, you know, helped to build this show from being just a little tiny show to having the full studio and, you know, multi mics and guests coming in all the time. Of course, we got to give it up for Rolla J out there, who's got us this board and these mics and all this stuff. Lively Libra out there in the chat room, who donated for the Libramator, the software that helps make this run. Pookie and Stereotype and Stone Kidney and Bongwater Becky and Cannabis Cure and NorCal Perps. And if I try to name everybody, I'll forget somebody. So I ought to just, you know, stop right now. But, you know, everybody out there has been such a big part of this show. There are some of the stashers on our cam right there, some of the people who've donated their time and talents to help make this possible. I'm just amazed, thrilled, and humbled that this has become what it's become. And to kind of illustrate that, I'm going to give you a listen. I mean, this show started out as a podcast that Chris Goldstein did called The Daily Audio Stash way back in 2006. You know, just kind of, you know, early on, it's funny, you talk about something 5 years ago, but in the internet, it might as well be 50 years ago. But, you know, early on doing the podcast, nobody was doing podcasts. Now everybody's got a podcast. But Chris came up with the idea, created the position. Literally, I only have this job because of Chris Goldstein creating the job. The job didn't exist. This wasn't a position it normally got created. And so we moved from being a podcast to being a live show sometime in September of 2009. Now, I had taken over the Daily Audio Stash podcast in February of 2008 and was still doing it as a podcast. And I learned a very valuable lesson, and that is recording takes a whole lot more time than live. If you do a recorded, to do the 1 hour recorded podcast took literally 5 hours of recording time. It seems weird, but it's because you're constantly redoing things and editing things and fixing things and trying to make it sound perfect. Whereas if you do it live, you're doing it live, you know, 1 hour, you're done, you've got your content. So in September of 2009, I migrated the show. I began the migration of the show from being a recorded podcast to being a live show. And originally I was doing them both at once. I was doing 5 days a week of the podcast, and then on the weekends, on Saturday, would do the live, normal show live. It was going to be two separate shows. And part of this also was that I wanted to record and bring you live events. And so, our second normal show live, we were broadcasting in November of 2009 from Portland Hempstock. And, this is a clip from show number two. Now, I do want to, warn you here that the sound quality is not as good. It was through Blog Talk Radio, sampling at 11 kilohertz, you know, 64 megabits, and it was through a wireless connection at Kelly Point Park. So there are, you think you got skips on the feed now. You should have checked that out. So this is a short little clip, 90 seconds from our coverage of Portland Hempstock 2009, just to give you a flavor of how far we've come.
I do need to switch gears here a little bit and deliver some news here from Portland Hempstock. And any of you out there who want to wish best wishes to Jack Herrer, he was taken by ambulance from the bench here at the Portland Hempstock. They were tending to Jack, and he was doing, we don't know the actual condition right now as he's heading by ambulance to the hospital here in Portland. So our best wishes and strongest prayers and thoughts go out to Jack Herrer, the Emperor of Hemp. If you have not read his book, The Emperor of No Clothes, it is a must read for anybody in the cannabis community. Now, joining me here, as always, my co-host and good friend, Cannabis Carrie, is here. You can tell us a little bit about what was happening or what was going on backstage.
I'm not really sure, Russ. It's sort of pandemonium, but there were people on the scene immediately, and they were administering to Jack. They did a little CPR, and they did the ambulance. He did have a pulse, and they put him in this, and we're hoping for the best. Everybody out here loves Jack.
Yeah.
Everybody loves Jack. So holding hands together and just wishing him the best and hoping for the best outcome on that.
Yeah, and this is the news here at Portland Hempstock, and want everyone to just, you know, like we said, give your best wishes for the situation.
That's a recording from our second show, Normal Show Live number 2. That was September probably 11th or 10th, somewhere around there. Do you remember it was the 10th? The 11th and 12th was the Hempstock, yeah. So September of 2009, that was our second show live from Portland Hempstock. And, you know, that's when I kind of got the feeling, you know, that this could be more than and not, you know, I'm not trying to say that this was good or anything. Of course, it was tragic, terrible news. Hated to have to deliver it live like that. But it's where I kind of got this feeling of, like, our industry, our movement needs a network, needs a live coverage, needs their own news, needs their own media. We need to have our own media was basically what I got from that, because there I was, you know, and we were seeing the ambulances go backstage and everything. And I'm thinking, here's a major news story. Like, you know, somebody who's, you know, even outside of marijuana, you know, people could know who Jack Herer was. Oh yeah, that guy who did all the initiatives in the 80s, right? You know, even like people who aren't connected to our movement should know who Jack Herer was. And so here's this major news story. And there's not one reporter from any of the local news networks, KGW, K2, COIN, KPTV. None of the local news channels are there covering Hempstock. None of the there's no reporters. There's no radio reporter. Nobody. I was the only media there covering an event that is a major protest festival of marijuana prohibition in a state that has medical marijuana. Now, on the one hand, I guess you could say, wow, it's, you know, it's become so commonplace here in Oregon that there's no need to even make a news story of it. But really, it shouldn't be that way. There should be someone there. And that's kind of, and I felt like it was such a shame that here I was, the guy who was breaking to the world the news of Jack Herer having a heart attack. This should be, you know, the news anchors should be breaking this. This should be, you know, major news that's being broken, not being broken by, you know, a blogger, you know? So that's kind of when it dawned on me. That's when it dawned on me that, you know, if I'm not going to do it, who's going to do it? You know, if I'm not going to step up and try to build a network and try to build the voice of the marijuana nation, like I say, if I'm not going to do it, who's going to do it? You know, I figure I've got the skills to do it. I know audio, I know computers, I know news, I know analysis. What the hell? Let's jump in. And in doing that, it was kind of like an all-in situation. I mean, it's developed. It developed over the first year of working for Normal, of realizing that, hey, once you into this, you know, once you've put your name and you're getting, you know, millions of Google hits on your name associated with marijuana, it does kind of change the arc of your career path. You know, these suits and ties, I don't know if I'll ever get to wear them, you know, anywhere else in my life. It also reminds me, too, of this. I've got this Twitter mosquito buzzing around me lately, who's been, you know, criticizing, oh, you work for Normal, you want to keep it illegal so that you can profit off of the marijuana and being illegal, just like the lawyer, you know, that old story, right? Normal really secretly wants it to be illegal so they can profit, blah, blah, blah. So he's been buzzing around me, and it's kind of bugged me, because in taking this job for Normal and doing this, there's been a lot of sacrifices on my side as well. I mean, I'm living in a rental house and a 12-year-old car that's about to break down, and, you know, no 401k. I'm on the special don't get sick or injured healthcare plan. I mean, there's a lot of sacrifices in doing this, but it's all worthwhile when every day I come here and I see a lot of these friends that I've met, people that have been to Normal conferences, people that traveled across the country just because they heard this show and wanted to get involved and felt like they were a part of something bigger. And all the people that are, you know, putting their time and energy into this, it's become bigger than I would have imagined, and I hope it becomes as big as I dreamed, you know, that it would actually be a cable satellite network with news shows and you know, variety shows and music shows. That's the direction I'm headed with this, and I'm glad that we're all on this ride together. You know, 800 shows is nothing to sneeze at. I know Oprah did 2,700. That's my goal. I want to beat Oprah. Everybody gets a new bong! But we'll just keep doing what we're doing here. I want to thank you all for joining us here, and, you know, once again, making this the best marijuana show on the internet and the best social network on the internet as far as cannabis goes. Well, as far as anything goes. I love each and every one of you out there. I don't want to say so personally. Thank you, 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 all of you. I love you all. Thanks for being a part of the show. We're going to keep this going, keep the celebration on here in Toker Talk Radio. If you want to join us live, we're going to be here at 2 o'clock Pacific every day for Toker Talk Radio at live.normal.org. If you're listening on the podcast, this is all for you. So thanks so much for joining us for show number 800. 801 comes up tomorrow. For Cannabis Carry, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, Tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.